You're listening to Adopter Stories by the Adoption and Fostering Podcast. In this episode, we hear from Frances, who, with her husband and two children, adopted a little girl through the New Zealand adoption system.
So my husband and I got together really young. We were 21 and 22 when we got married. Ever since we were going out, we'd always talked about adoption. One of my best friends actually has two adopted sisters, and I think growing up and knowing the girls and having close relationships with them, for me it was just something that, it was just another way of creating family. It wasn't a negative way of doing things, it was just another way of bringing people into your family. And her parents always had a very inclusive view of what family was, and I really absorbed that, and I loved that they welcomed people of all different walks of life and cultures into their family, and I always wanted to have a family like that. My husband and I kind of always had a real openness to adoption, and my husband is very passionate about the environment, and I say this in no way to offend anybody, but he just feels very strongly about not having lots and lots of biological children. That's just his personal opinion. I don't have such strong views, but he really feels quite strongly that he's never wanted to have more than two biological kids. But we never felt entirely like our family was complete. So we had two kids biologically, and ended up through some pretty tough circumstances fostering a friend's daughter for a year. And it was a really hard experience, but also an experience that really taught us that we definitely had the capacity to love a child that wasn't biologically ours. And so by the time that my son was 2.5 and we started really thinking again about another child and what we might do, and that was when the conversations around adoption started coming up a lot more again. And obviously for my husband, like, he was just very gung-ho, just wanted to do it straight away. And for me, I'm a mental health professional, and I've worked with a lot of kids that have had, you know, various behavioural challenges and stuff. And so I was quite aware of the potential behavioural challenges that you might experience with a child that comes from a hard place. And so I was a little bit more hesitant, and I needed a bit more time to kind of get to a point where I was all in. I went away on a holiday actually with my mum and my brother to a place in the South Island. It was really beautiful, and just spent a lot of time reflecting about whether what the next step was, and kind of came back and said to my husband, no, I think I actually feel really ready now. I feel like a weird sense of urgency, like we need to put our paperwork in. And so that week we actually got everything into our local child and protection services, and we're away. So that was kind of how we got to that first step of the process. So in New Zealand, we actually don't have a lot of options around the process with adoption. We don't really have like agencies per se. We're just not big enough to have, you know, like private agencies. So the only option really in New Zealand is the government agency, which is called Oranga Tamariki. That's government funded, also obviously does child protection services, and they do work with the birth parents, they work with the adoptive parents, and there's basically like two avenues you can go down in New Zealand. So there's like a formal adoption process where the birth parent willingly signs over their rights to the adoptive parent, and then there's also the sort of semi-adoption but more sort of permanent caregiving through foster care, where the parents would then obviously not willingly allow the child to be in permanent care with that family. And that's, my husband and I knew that adoption in New Zealand is actually really rare. So it's very, very rare for a parent to sign their rights over to willingly to actually go into formalised adoption process. I think that in my city last year there were 6. So it's basically just doesn't really happen very often in New Zealand. My husband and I had talked a lot about what we were going to do, And we felt that because we already had biological children, we didn't want to sit in the adoption pool waiting around for a child that would possibly never had come up. And so instead we decided that we were going to adopt from foster care. And we were actually really open to adopting a sibling group as well. And, you know, because I thought like those kids maybe come up a little bit more and it might, you know, we kind of actually thought that we would probably still be waiting for a 2 or 3 years for a sibling group to come up that would be the right sort of fit with the age groups and stuff in our families. Basically what we did is we went through the process, you know, with all that everybody has to do with the IDs and the references from friends and all of the medical reports and things that you have to do. And then we did the foster care training through Oranga Tamariki. So then this crazy thing happened, though, where I got a phone call on Christmas Day, and this was us kind of right in the middle of, like, being accepted for the first step of the process with adoption and just about to go on to the next stage of, like, home visits and all that stuff. We got a phone call on Christmas Day from one of my friends saying that they were all down in the Hawke's Bay, which is quite sort of far from where we live. It's 6 hours away. And they had there for a family Christmas, and they just found out that her youngest sister was actually 5 months pregnant. And she was really upset and really tearful about it because she was, I think she was a month behind her younger sister. So she was quite pregnant by that point as well. And she was saying, like, there's just no way she can cope with this. I don't know what we're going to do. You know, she was, like, saying, I'm going to have to raise this child myself, and I'll just bring them up as twins and all this kind of stuff. And I was like, hold on, you know, like, you know, I've worked with teenagers. I've seen some teenagers come from really hard backgrounds and parent really well. And just remember that she's had really great parents, and just because she's young doesn't mean that she can't do it, and, you know, all this stuff. And I said, look, you've just got to sit her down and say to her, like, if she needs, you know, that you guys just support whatever decision that she makes, and if she wants to do it, then, you know, you support her and all this stuff. I've known my friend and her sister for a long time and really love both of them deeply, and so I was pretty shaken up by it, to be honest, all of Christmas Day. Then they came away with us on holiday, actually, at New Year's. This is like a week later. We've got this heavily pregnant teenager with us. She just sort of randomly took me aside and jokingly said, what do you think about raising my baby? And I went, like, real awkward. Like, I was just, like, the most awkward I've ever been. I was like, look, honey, you've only just found out that this is happening for you. This is a really big deal. I think you need to go and take some time and just think about what's going on for you. You know, I was quite convinced that once you sort of saw the scans and kind of worked out a bit of a plan around supports and things that were available to her, that she'd probably be able to kind of work out what she wanted to do next, and that she was very likely to parent. And because in New Zealand here, we have, like, actually quite a good benefit system. You know, we have free GP care. We have actually quite a lot of social supports available, especially for young people. And, you know, like, we even have, like, schools which they can go to and take their babies to. And there's just a lot of support around. And so we hung out with her a lot on the holiday. She got to see my husband and I shambolically parenting our children, so she got a bit of a taste of how we parent, which is basically like a process of love and attention and also some benign neglect to allow them to make their own decisions. She seemed to kind of really love being around our family and really love being around our kids, which was really nice. And we kind of just left it at that, and she went back down to Hawke's Bay, where she's from. And about 3 months later, I got a text from her saying, I've been thinking about it and I'm not ready to parent, and I'm wondering if your husband and you will take my baby and raise her as your own. My husband was really horrified, because I just said yes straight away. And he was like, no, like, this is a big decision. Like, we talk about these things. And I was like, I don't know. There was just this feeling like there was something about this situation which was so bizarre and so completely overwhelming and strange. But I just said yes straight away. And but I sort of said to her with the caveat of like, we are willing to absolutely take her and we would love to raise her as our own. But we need you to know that if you change your mind and you want to parent, that's actually okay as well, because we don't want there to be a feeling of pressure around this stuff. When our daughter was born, we got a phone call in the middle of the night saying that she was on her way. And so my friend and I drove down to the Hawke's Bay to meet her, and she then had to be cared for by someone else. We're actually not allowed to care for the child. We're allowed to go and see them and visit them and stuff, but because Orang Tamariki, the government agency, are very worried about any kind of pressure on the birth mother, which is fair enough, we, you know, had to sort of stay out of the picture and actually had to go back to Auckland, which was really, really hard. But also, like, really important for her to have the time with her daughter to decide whether she actually does want a parent, because, you know, at the end of the day, it's such a massive, huge decision, and there's aspects of the whole process really which, like, I still feel like a real deep sense of grief and heaviness over, I think, just because, you know, at the end of the day, you as a family received this incredible gift, you received this incredible child, but there's someone left without a child as well. And it's just such a hard thing to come to terms with sometimes as an adoptive parent. So we went back to Auckland and we got word that she had signed consent on the 12th day. Her sister brought our daughter up to us on the 12th day. And as you can imagine, the handover at the airport was pretty emotional, because my friend was like 9 months pregnant and about to have a baby, and she'd been caring for our daughter for 12 days. So it was a really intense experience for us, and very nerve-wracking, because it's kind of like you want the birth mum to make the right call for herself. And so as much as, like, you're trying to prepare mentally for the potential that your life could completely change, you also don't want to be preparing for it in case somebody does change their mind, because you want them to make the right call for them either way. So that's a very hard place to be in. And to do that for 12 days, as a person like myself who literally hates any kind of suspense at all, 12 days of suspense is just almost too much. It was almost the end of me, seriously. Such an incredible experience bringing her home. We didn't tell the kids that because we didn't want to tell them in case it didn't work out, and because we still wanted to. We actually said that to her mom. We said, like, you know, we haven't told the kids because we want you to have every opportunity to back out of this if you don't want to do it. So we told the kids that we were going to the airport to pick up a very important visitor. They were like sitting there waiting on the couch. And when we brought the baby in the capsule, they were just absolutely in shock. And my husband said to them, this is your sister. I think they were both just like completely blown away. We actually have a really my husband's best friend's a photographer, and he actually documented the moment of the kids meeting their sister, which was really special. That's kind of how the whole process started. Yeah. We are very pro open adoption. I'm a bit of a nerd and I read a lot, and I love reading about, you know, the evidence base behind how to do things well with kids, and because I'm always interested to hear what people who have walked the path before me have to say and people that have expertise in the area. And So for me, I was always going to be very pro open adoption. In New Zealand as well, it's actually illegal not to have an open adoption. Like, it would be very rare. Like, you'd have to have a very abusive parent for the child to not have any connection with the parents. And I think even then in New Zealand, they would try and ensure that the child had some connection to the birth family because they know how important it is. We decided to have a really open adoption. So we didn't sort of specify like a number of visits a year. We kind of just went, let's just, there's no kind of real roadmap for this, but let's just work it out as we go. Because literally every adoptee that I've ever heard a story about or that's read, you know, that's written their own story said, kids have enough love to go around. There's nothing wrong with having these birth parents in the picture. If the birth parent is able to have a healthy relationship with the child, it's more love. There's nothing wrong with that, you know. And so we decided, like, right from the outset to be very generous and open with our home to her. Our daughter's mum actually came up quite a lot in the first year, which was fabulous and a little bit tricky just because, you know, babies are like, they're kind of, you know, they're a bit sort of bit boring to hang out with. Like, you just kind of have to sit around with them and hold them and very preferential with me. And so I found that really hard because I was really trying to give her birth mum opportunities to have time with her. And sometimes that just didn't work when she was a little baby. But as she's got older, the relationship's been so much easier. They have a lot of fun together. And it's so neat watching them interact together now because my daughter really gets, like, she's 18 months old, so she doesn't understand the situation yet, but she does have a lovely connection with her. And I think on a deep level, she does connect with her. And I have the most awesome photos of them just like connecting and laughing together and stuff. And even though they don't see each other that often, the connection is real. And I think, you know, going forward, there'll need to be some kind of conversations around, like, how do you build a narrative around my daughter's adoption, and how do you kind of have some, like, safe conversations with her around making sure that we're kind of all singing from the same songbook a bit around the narrative. And I'm hopeful that will be fine because her mum is in a good place and we have a great relationship. Like, her and I text all the time. And what I love about our relationship is, like, besides my daughter's grandparents who are just obsessed with her, she's that one person that you can text and be like, you will not believe what she said today. She's so smart. And she's that one person besides the grandparents that, like, you're allowed to brag to. Because, you know, like, if you go brag to your friends about how smart your kid is, they're just like, whatever, man. Like, you know, they don't want to hear about it. But you know, she's so stoked to hear stories about her and photos and all that kind of stuff. And I really cherish the connection that she has with her siblings, particularly her older sister. Like, it's just, like, quite magical, the kind of connection that they have. And there's just something about maybe their personality mix or what it is, but it's like she was always meant to be in our family. And I know that sounds cheesy and it's what all adopters say, but she is just such a beautiful kid and we just feel so lucky to have her. I think, obviously for us negotiating the court system in New Zealand has been challenging. It's hugely expensive. And also because it was so unexpected that when we were approached by her mum, we just were not expecting to adopt at that stage. I mean, we were thinking we'd be going on the list and waiting for 2 or 3 years. So we were completely financially unprepared. It was quite a difficult time financially, and we also ended up with, like, huge, huge lawyers' bills. And it was crazy because in New Zealand, the court system, the family courts are always really backed up, so it takes a really long time to get through everything. And so you kind of get a response from a judge about one thing, and then it would be, like, another 3 months to get to the next judge to make a response, and it would be a different person each time. So the process and the time around that took really long, and I think we ended up paying like $8,000 in lawyers' bills for a adoption that was organic and straightforward, which was super painful. I didn't even know what $8,000 would be for you guys. Like, I don't know. Our $8,000 would be, anyway. It felt like a lot of money when you don't have maternity leave saved for and all that stuff. But, obviously 110% worth it. Like, she's, you know, we're so grateful to have her, and 100% like would do it all over again. But that was pretty challenging for us. And I think, you know, people can make some pretty inappropriate comments at times. Like, definitely had some like relatives say some stuff which has been offensive, but to be honest, like, I'm not at an age now where I really care about what people like that think. So for me, that stuff was frustrating, but, you know, at the end of the day, like, I'm an adult and I own the decisions that I make. So I don't need the approval of people that I don't really respect anyway. But yeah, that was probably the main challenges. I don't think there's been anything else other than that. And just learning how to build a healthy relationship with their birth mum. I think that her birth mum, that reflects a sort of a basis of mutual respect and an understanding of the grief stuff. I think I still have days where I feel like a real sense of heaviness and sadness about the fact that this is my daughter's story and that she's not going to be parented by her biological mum. And like, there's just some days where it's just hard and it's heavy and it's sad and that just feels crap sometimes. And then other times I go, well, you know, we're just doing the best that we can with what we have, and that's all you can really offer anybody. So, I think that's, like, you just have to give yourself a bit of grace with that stuff, eh? I have to say, though, I must mention this because I have to say, like, the other thing that's happened for me particularly is that it has opened my eyes, because she is biracial, and you know, I think that it's opened my eyes up as a European person to some of the difficulties that some of these kids may face going through the world, and made me so much more aware of my own privilege and given me more understanding, and I guess just made me much more conscious of being aware of that as she goes through the world. So we've had a huge amount of benefit as a family and just as individuals as well. If you open your heart to one kid through adoption, your heart will be so smashed and broken that you cannot stop thinking about doing it again. It's like you come through it and you go, that was one of the hardest, most frustrating experiences of my life, but I want to do it all over again, because your heart is just broken in the best possible way to open it up again for another kid. You just, I don't know what it is. It's, you are irrevocably changed as a human being through adoption, and the benefits are not the child's. The benefits are actually completely yours. And it's bizarre, like, how different we are. Like, my husband, he used to be like quite a hard man in some ways, like not like a guy that fights people, but just a guy that was always quite not really in touch with his emotional side at all. And he cries now like at ridiculous things. And I think it's because there's something in this process where you've become opened up and you just softened in a way that you've never been before. And we're both like that. We're just munted now for kids. And we would love to foster, but we just feel like it's not the right stage in our lives to do it. But one day we would love to do something like that, because it feels like there's a sense of inevitability about it, like it's just something that we're moving towards as a family. It's funny because a lot of people say to me, oh, you know, your daughter's so lucky that she landed in your family. And we're like, absolutely not. But I say to them, like, we are the luckiest family, and we are the lucky ones. It's not her, because she's the one that's given our family like the most incredible benefits. And she, and it's funny because I think it's not just the benefits for us as a family in terms of the gratefulness that you literally feel every day when you look at her. And I'm not exaggerating, like I genuinely feel so much gratefulness when I look at her. But I think that it's actually changed our community around us as well. We live in quite a like quite a rich community, to be honest. Like in a lot of the families around us have been quite profoundly changed by just her coming into our lives, and just the generosity of our community and people gathering around us and looking after us has just been like really quite beautiful. Even though there's complication and there's hardship and there's grief, it's there's also joy and deep like gratitude and so much love in there. And there's and I think it's what's been really amazing as well is you know, having this connection with her mum. Her mum has said to me, like, she feels more like we're sisters now. And so we've actually feel like we've welcomed in another person into our family. That's, we've inherited this whole extended family as well. You know, like her first family, like grandfather, comes and hangs out with her. And so it's like he's like kind of like our kid's grandfather as well. You know, that there's this lovely kind of thing that's happening where our boundaries of family are getting extended. And we get more love and we get more family, which is, there's just nothing bad about that, really.